started talking about seeds of rest. Seeds of rest. And we took for a text Joshua chapter 21 from verse 43. Joshua chapter 21 from verse 43. If you are new to Victory House, you're welcome. This is the home of victors and Victoria. And you will soon experience victory on all sides in the name of Jesus. Joshua chapter 21, 43 to 45. So the Lord gave to Israel all the land he has sworn to give their fathers. And they took possession of it and dwelt in it. Verse 44. The Lord gave them rest all round, according to all that he had sworn to their fathers. And not a man of their enemies stood against them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. That's going to be somebody's story in the name of Jesus. Verse 45. Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. Can we read this last part together? If you are ready, 1, 2, go. All came to pass. I declare over you, all that God has said concerning you is coming to pass. You didn't say amen like you believe it. It is coming to pass. It will happen as he has said. It will happen in your finance. It will happen in your marriage. It will happen every area of your life. Say believe in amen if you believe it. Matthew chapter 11, 28 to 30. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Still talking about seeds of rest. Today I just want to focus on partnership. I want to focus on partnership. The Bible starts with the creation of mankind. And just in that old 1 week creation story, God not only created things, God also instituted a particular pause into creation called rest. He called it Sabbath. Now, while the children of Israel started multiplying and increasing, when Moses showed up on the scene, they institutionalized this Sabbath and they began to even meet God on that day. They began to have services on that day. But you see, the mystery of Sabbath is the mystery of rest. And that mystery is all around scripture. Now, when you get to Leviticus 25, the Lord was now talking about a particular kind of Sabbath. He said, after 7 Sabbaths, that is 7 years of 7 Sabbaths, which is 49 years, that you are going to declare a jubilee. And that jubilee, the jubilee means the blowing of the ram's horn, the blowing of the shofar. You are going to declare that jubilee. And in that jubilee, there will be release. In that jubilee, prisoners will be set free. And for us in the Redeemed Christian Church of God, this is our jubilee here. For 70 years, 7 times 10 years, this organization globally has existed. And so our apostle or our general overseer has declared a jubilee. And I stand in the authority that God has given him as an extension of him here in this local assembly. I declare that jubilee over you. I declare that jubilee over you. Every area where you have been in prison, go free. Every area where you have been in prison, go free. In the name of Jesus. So jubilee is a different kind of rest that is even different from Sabbath. It's an accumulated rest that now happens in, and the year after that, 7 times 7 years, 49 years, that year, the next year, the 50th year, will be called Jubilee. But Jubilee is a function of sevens. And that's why we are having a jubilee this year as a church. But you see, jubilee is more than an event. Jubilee is more than an event. Jubilee is a person. Jubilee is Jesus. Because you see, the idea of jubilee was to signify rest. But the Bible said there is still a rest. Even though that jubilee was declared in the Old Testament, there is still a rest. I want you to open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 9. Thank you, Jesus. I will read the scripture, then I will sing a song. That is the song somebody will sing very, very soon. It's not for everybody, but somebody will remember today because there is something that bothered them when they came to this service. But when that thing is done, this song will automatically come up to them and they will sing it as a testament that God did what he said he was going to do to them in the name of Jesus. I'll sing that song after this scripture and it will be your song. The Bible says in verse 9 of Hebrews chapter 4, it says, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. Oh, even though the Sabbaths have been declared, even though the Jubilees have been declared, but there remained a rest, because the rest that God started in Genesis 1 was not supposed to be a day, it was to be a person. And some people are so bothered about a day. There are still people on earth today that are saying, some of you are not meeting on Sabbath day, you are not meeting on this day, and all of that kind of thing. But ladies and gentlemen, when the Sabbath himself showed up, when the rest himself showed up, if you receive that rest, if you worship on a Friday, you will be fine. If you receive that rest, if you worship on a Saturday, you will be fine. If you receive that rest, if you worship on a Sunday, you will be fine. If you don't receive that rest, if you worship on a Sunday, you are still not at rest, because there remaineth a rest for the people of God. Because in Hebrews he had been talking about the people of God, and then he got to this part, he said there's still that rest. There is still only that rest is still pending. It's a pending transaction, even after it had been promised, even after the Sabbath had been signified. And it says there remained a rest for the people of God. Move to verse 10. For he who has entered his rest has ceased himself also from his works. He who has rendered his rest has ceased from his work, as God did. Remember, this rest started with God in Genesis 1. But this rest, as it started with God, God was also typifying Jesus, who will become our eternal Sabbath. And the Bible said in verse 11, move on. Let us therefore be diligent to enter. Let us be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. In the wilderness, they did not enter. They were performing all the rites, they were following all the laws, but they didn't enter, because you had to enter by faith. You had to put yourself in it. There is a place of your own will, your own decision, some your own part in this game for you to enter the rest. So this morning, God is still saying there is rest. Jesus is still standing there and saying, come unto me, all ye that labor, and I will give you rest. I can give you rest over finances. I can give you rest over academics. I can give you rest over your career. I can give you rest even in places where people think there will be unrest. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is the Prince of Peace, meaning that he can make peace to happen where peace does not need to happen, or where peace is elusive. Anytime you bring Jesus on the scene, he will bring peace there. Even when Jesus was in the midst of a storm, to show you that he was peace personified, the Bible said he was sleeping. He was at rest in a position of unrest. So the position of unrest does not need to make you be unrest. You can be rested when things are troubled. You can be rested when you are beaten on every side. I've met young people who are discouraged, who are depressed, who are down and out because of something that happened. But ladies and gentlemen, if you personalize this rest, if you enter into this rest, if you allow this rest, it doesn't matter what happens to you externally. You'll be able to say like Paul in Romans chapter 8. He says, I'm persuaded neither life, neither death, neither things to come. I'm persuaded nothing is able to separate us from the love of Christ. I know that all things will work together for my good. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to be that kind of man. You need to be that kind of woman who understands that all things will work together for good. There are many times the devil will throw us lemons in life. You need to be able to understand that by God, God can turn that lemon into a lemonade. By you believing in the power of God that turns things around. I told you I was going to sing a song for that person. And this is the song you sing. See what the Lord has done. See what the Lord has done. What I've been waiting for has come to pass. See what the Lord has done. Remember today, the 13th of November. That pattern that you came to church, you were a little discouraged. You will sing this song. When the miracle happens, when that burden will be completely lifted, when the appointment that you have this week will set you up for a major, major thing that God will do in the name of Jesus. So to enter the rest, he said we should enter the rest. We have to enter the rest based on the recipe Jesus gave in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. He told us to come. I spoke a little bit about that last week, to surrender, to yield to him. Then the next thing he told us to do is this. He told us to take. He told us to take. What he was saying with this take is this. I have a part to play. You have a part to play. I, Jesus, have a part to play. You have a part to play. So that makes us partners. For you to enter into the rest, you have to maintain the position of a partner. Who is a partner? A partner is a person that takes his part in a whole. You find your part and you take your part. There is your part in this position of rest. There is your part and you have to take it. You know, many people don't understand that dimension of faith. Whenever people talk about faith, they think faith is only God giving something or something like that. But there is a dimension of faith that is you receive. In fact, you have to believe you receive before you have it. Most people think you have it to believe that you have received. No, you have to receive it by faith to have it. The Bible speaking in Mark chapter 11 verse 24. Mark chapter 11 verse 24. He said that you must believe. He says, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive it, or you take it by faith and then you have it. So what is this, our part? Our part is to take it. Our part is to lay hold on it. Our part is to apprehend it. Our part is to grab it. Our part is to hold on to it. Our part is not to let it go. In Philippians chapter 3 verse 12, Paul was speaking there. He says, I want to apprehend. I want to lay hold. I want to grab that which God has laid hold on me for. It says, not that I have apprehended, or not have already attained, or I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. So that means that if Jesus lays hold on me, I will also lay hold on him. If Jesus has laid his hands on me, if Jesus has given me rest, I will receive that rest. I will allow that rest. That is the labor dimension of this rest. You take it. You hold on to it. You find your own responsibility and you fulfill it. You take it by making a choice to comply with your own part of the equation. In Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19. In Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19, the Bible says, I place before you life and death, blessing and cursing. He said, I plead with you to choose life. You have to choose. One of the things that you and I need to understand is the power of a decided child of God to choose what God wants for them. In spite of what they see in the natural, you have to choose. If you want rest to happen, you have to choose. So that means that there is a response. There is a responsibility you have. You and I have a responsibility. Many of the time, this is where things are lacking. We are many of the times like Gideon, a mighty man of valor, and God is waiting for you, but you think you are waiting for God. There are many people that came into this room this morning and say, I'm believing God for something. It is true you are, but what you are thinking in your mind is that you are waiting for God to show up, and God is waiting for you to show up because your corresponding action for him to show up is not there. You are not making your own part. You are not taking your own part. You are not finding your own part and fulfilling your own part. Let me tell you the truth. Until your part is fulfilled, God's part is not committed. And like one of our mentors would normally say, any faith that puts on the responsibility on God is an irresponsible faith. There is your part. There is your part. So you want a particular rest, find your part and play your part. For example, you want financial rest, find your part and play your part. What are some of your part? Is doing financial rest. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10. 2 Thessalonians verse 3 and chapter 3 and verse 10. The Bible stresses the importance of working. The Bible stresses the importance of hard and smart work. It says, for even when we were with you, we commanded you this: if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. What does that mean? It means that if you don't work, don't expect to eat. If you don't put in the right work, if you don't put in the right amount of labor, you don't show up. When you show up with minimal and tardy kind of job. You show up with mediocrity. You don't put your best into it. Yes, you are a student. Yes, you come to church. Praise God for that. But don't let the reason because you came to church be the reason why you won't put your best foot forward. Yes, you had to be in service a little extra. But how many minutes extra did you spend in service? It was not the service. It was the social media. It was the social media that you were spending more time on. If many people were going to do more homework about their work, they would do better. Many people, when they come home, they do every other thing but an homework that will help the work to work well at work. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you the truth. As a child of God, the grace of God does not exonerate you from work. It doesn't exonerate you from applying yourself. What it just guarantees you is this: if you sow, if you water, God will give the increase. If the person doesn't know God, they may sow, they may water, but there may be no increase. But there is a blessing on you that makes what you do to work. But you have to do something. You don't have to show up shabby. You don't have to, in the name of, I am a child of God, I believe in favor, I don't show up, I don't show all mine. You are not taking the rest that God has given you in your finances that way. So if you want to take your financial rest, you need to work. You need to get to work. When you get to work, work at work. When you get home, stay at home. But don't bring home to work and bring work to home. And that's what most people do. But God is asking you, if you are interested in financial rest, that you be responsible at work. If you are interested in financial rest, what does the Bible also say again? It says, be responsible how you spend. Be responsible how you spend. There is this scripture that is very, very interesting. And you see what the Bible categorizes a man or a woman who is not responsible with their spending. Proverbs 21 verse 20. The Bible says, there is desirable treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man squanders it all. What does that mean? It means that a wise man has savings. A wise man does not spend all he gets. A wise man is not saying that one day when I'm a big boy, one day when my vessel arrives, one day when I have my millions, I will begin to do this. Let me tell you the truth. What you will do with millions, you are doing already with hundreds. What you will do with thousands, you're already doing with ten. If you don't treat ten well, the law of faithfulness says that if we give you a million, you won't treat it well. The other day somebody said this and the thing really troubled me a lot. He said, do you know many of us are already millionaires? If you think through how much has passed through your hands, especially if you are in your 30s, you started working in your 20s, you are probably a millionaire, even in the currency that you are living in. Because if you look through what has passed through your hands, if you don't believe that that has happened, go and look at some of your tax returns. Look at your giving statement and begin to add things up. And you will find out that maybe I would have been a millionaire. But because we are not careful of how we spend. And the days of subscriptions, the days of $5.99 subscription for Peacock, $6.99 for Pluto, $2.99 for Amazon, you know, under Prime, and Twitter Blue. That man is a keg of so many things. So Twitter Blue too will have subscription now. If you want to be verified by Twitter, you'll be paying some money. I don't have a problem if you are paying for stuff, but I have a problem when you don't understand that little drops make an ocean. If you don't understand the value of small, if you despise small, you cannot be big. If you don't know how to save, if you don't know how to put money aside, if you don't know how to set aside some money, and let me speak to some of us that are people in diaspora. I heard the other day that the monies that some people contributed to the economy of a country was close to some billions of dollars every month, every year. And how do they do that? It's by sending money home. Can somebody say amen? Where you live really is home. It is where you live that is home. You see, the home that many people talk about is the home of extended family. Where you are living is home. And Isaac sowed where? In the land. And that land was not Israel. He sowed in the land he was living in. Where you live is home. And I like the benevolence. I like the charity attitude that many of us have. But ladies and gentlemen, Jacob one day said to his father-in-law Laban, when will I provide for my own home? Ask your neighbor, when will you provide for your own home? You have to put something aside. With the income you are earning, you have to put something aside. You have to save. You have to watch what you spend. Many of us, if we cut down our spending, we will find areas to save. I'm reading a book called Automatic Millionaire. And this guy met a man that by 55 had retired. And this guy retired at 55 and he looked like, wow, how did you do that? In the United States, and this guy did not have a credit card debt again. He owned two houses that he had all paid for. So he was wondering, how did you do it? He said, what I did was I automated my savings. I automated paying myself. Because do you know that when you get paid, you are not paid? When you get a paycheck, you are not yet paid until you put something aside and save it. You put something aside, maybe in an IRA account, in a 401k account. If you don't put something aside, you have not been paid. And it was found out from that book that the statistics is very alarming, that most people don't give themselves one day pay in a month. That means that if you calculate your income, you are not saving at least one day's pay of what you are making. And the reason you are not saving it or putting it in an investment account is because you are saying that it's not enough. But can I tell you the truth? It really never looks like it is enough. Yes. Even the people that are winning jackpot. You know, this jackpot thing is increasing every year. The numbers, the figures are increasing every year. And this, the rate at which people are getting broke after they win the money is also increasing every year. Why? It is not what you make that makes you. It is what you keep. It is what you keep. And this is something that our generation need to know. Many of us younger people, we are earning so much money than many of our parents used to earn. And they did more with their money than us. Some of them built house. And if you if they tell you how much they were earning, you are like, how did you do it? Were you stealing the groceries? How did you do it? Because me, by the time I buy groceries, all the money is finished. But the truth is that the groceries that you are buying, half of it is spoiling. I mean, I like to have different kind of cereals in the house. But how many of you are you going to eat? There is much treasure in the wise house of the wise. You say, but the fool spends it all. If you spend it all, the Bible has a name for you. He calls you a fool. And all of us this morning, this message is for all of us. We have to think through these things and ask ourselves, when will I provide for my family? This is how you have financial rest. You have to do your part. This is your own contribution to that. Now, I know that you can do all that you have done and the devil can show up. That's where God will do his own part. But if you don't do your own part and expect God to do his own part, you're a magician. You are not a believer. So financial rest, you have to work. You have to be responsible how you spend. You have to be responsible and even plan your giving. I like this scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. If you can give me in the NIV version. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. These are the seeds of rest. And the seed of rest this morning that we are considering is that you take responsibility. You know your part and stand in your part. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Oh, thank you. It says, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. We normally read this scripture when we want to take offering. And so many times people understand it as, I just decide what I want to give. And then I give it. It's true. But it also means that I have a system of giving. That's what the system is saying. Most young people today are questioning the tithe question. Is tithe for the New Testament? Is tithe for this? I say, calm down. Every church age needs a system of giving. Because if you don't have systems of giving, you will not give. Go and ask anybody that God has helped to give, and some of them are giving more than even 10%. I met a person, some of you have met him, Reverend George. We were talking recently and he was telling me about an investment he has and that he was going to get money and that the money was not enough, that it was small, because that as soon as they give him the money in that currency, it was 4 million, that is only 2 million that is his own. I said, what will happen? Is it they will charge you so much tax? He said, no, 2 million belongs to God. I said, he said, but I've told you people that I give God 50%. He's dawned on me, especially. I said, wow. There are men and there are men. There are too many people that argue, this 10% thing is an Old Testament thing. And I say, calm down. The systems of giving has always been in the Bible. 10% was introduced at a particular time in scripture so that the people will have a system. There is no system of government anywhere in the world that there is no system of give back to the system. Even in your natural government, there is a system of giving back to the system. Chicago has a way they are getting that money back. All that stimulus money that they threw to you, did they not get it back one way? Because the way the ecosystem works is this. You give back. The system of God also works like that. And the Bible says, let every one of you decide your systems. I've met people say, so what do you believe in? Do you have a system? If you tell me you have a system of giving 20% and you show it to me, I'll celebrate you. But to tell me that you don't have a system because one system is Old Testament, that's why you don't have a system, I have a question for you. How do you want to have a system of replenishing from God? You need to have a system. We need to have a system. And God is calling many of us to understand and find our own system. Some of us, we started at 10%, but by the faithfulness of God and for the kind of financial rest you are asking for God, you need to up it up. Do you know that if you give tithe 10%, God is still expecting, and you are still able to give to other things, because the Bible said you should have decided in your heart what to give, not grudgingly. It now says God loves a cheerful giver. He loves a ready to do it giver. That means a giver that is willing to do and do and do and do. Because let me tell you the truth. If you are a child of God, one of the reasons why God wants to bless you is so that he can establish the covenant. Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 18. The Bible says, you will remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth you power to get well, so that he can establish his covenant. That means that when God is blessing a child of God, he is thinking about the covenant. He's thinking about how will that person be partner with me to establish the covenant. Oh, I don't have a system of giving. I just give anyhow. No, you have to have a system. Because it's that system that established the covenant. It's that system that makes things to operate in the local church. Sometimes when people come into a local church like this, they wonder how do things operate. There's no secret about it. Money doesn't come from heaven. Can somebody say amen to that? It comes from this side to this side. And that's why we turn on the lights. That's why, you know, some of you come sometimes, you see that the places is dirty, this is happening. That's why not every service we are saying, please, before you go out of that place, we need 20,000 urgently. Hey, who is going to give 5,000? No, it's because we are believing that the people of God will have a system of giving. And that's why the Bible says, before you come to church, already have that system. Already give. Already automated, like that my book that the man said he was automating his giving, his savings to himself, and then he started automating other things too. He automated his savings, and then because of that automating his savings, he was able to also give a little extra. Because you know what I found, and I found this as a little boy, that if you plan your giving, you will give very well. The reason why sometimes giving feels like pressure for many people is because you didn't plan it. It's when they say it's suffering time that you're not thinking $5. That's why you're always giving $5. But you are, come on. Even the waiter, you can't give a waiter $5. That's why you're always giving $1. And you say, well, these are hard. But these are not as hard as you are making it to be. You are not planned. You don't have a system of giving. And if you don't have this system, you are saving, you are excusing yourself from financial rest, because you have to take your part. Your part number one is to know that you have to work. Your part number two is to know that you have to keep. Your part number three is to know that you have to give. You have to have a system. You have to have it planned. You have to be thinking about how can I be a bigger blessing. That's how God blesses people. If God knows that you are going to be a bigger blessing, he will bring it into your hand. Because let me tell you the truth, God is living for distribution centers. That's it. That's all. How hard is it for God to bless you? It's not so hard. It's just that he's thinking that if I bless you, I will bless you and you become a dam. I need to bless you to become a channel to reach other people. But if I bless you, what you are going to do is that you will get all you can, and can all you get, and sit on the can. And God is saying, well, if you are going to sit on the can, let's just make the can small. So that we keep this thing moving. Ah, pastor, you are speaking like that because you are a pastor. See, let me tell you the truth. We don't even live in this church by the giving of people. We also live by the giving of ourselves. If you see any pastor that is doing well, he doesn't live by the giving of the church. How can he do that? He has to live by his own giving too. He has to live by his own purposing in his heart to decide the system of giving, and he'll be giving. I'm very close to many men of God, some very senior, and I've seen how things flow. Like, you know, I just mentioned Reverend George, and sometimes I have preached in places that he preached, and some of the testimonies he tells me, I'm like, what did you tell them? In my mind, I'm like, what did you tell them, sir? In my mind, I'm like, what did you tell them? Because I went there, I sweated like this, and maybe we shouted more than you, you know. But our results were different, because the same measure to which you give, the same measure shall be given back unto you. What I'm saying, some of you may not agree with it now, just go back home and listen to it again. Calm down. This is not a message about finances necessarily,
you need to give money to church and all of that kind of. No, it's not about that. God knows how to touch people. I mean, let me tell you this. I'm the pastor of this church. There are some projects we have done in this church. One human being did it, and we didn't tell the person. We were just believing that the money will come, and somebody by themselves, not on a Sunday, sent the money, and sometimes $10,000. Just someone built it. So that's how this church runs. So it's not like, what I'm saying is so that, we're not going to do the government after this one. But I'm telling you this, that this is the route to financial rest. You work, you save, or you keep, then you give. If you do your part, God will do his part. Let me check one area also that I can talk about rest there. What about marital rest? If you were looking for marital rest, what are some of the things that can be your own responsibility that you can do? If you are living for marital rest, whether you are married or not married, the first thing you must do or you must know is that marriage belongs to God. You didn't create marriage. I didn't create marriage. So we have to do it by the dictate of the author of the institution. That's why the Bible speaks in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4. Hebrews 13 and verse 4. It says, marriage is honorable and the bed undefiled. That means if we honor the plans of marriage and the bed undefiled, it says we will be making marriage honorable. It says, but fornicators and adulterers, says God, will judge. Do you know that marriage is not a 20-something, 21st century institution? I know that it's now become more customary that people, even before they call all of us to say they are married, they have already married. Hello? Hello? I know some people are like, what's going on this morning? We know. It's what's going on now. And some people say, well, it's just economical. We're just living together. We are not yet married. We are boyfriend and girlfriend. We're going to get married anyway. Marriage has honor, and the honor shows up when you follow the rules. This is the marriage bed on the file. If you are not married, you are not married. Can somebody say amen? I am going to get married. Is this you are married? We will marry tomorrow. Is it you are married? Oh, we have already met our parents. Everybody, we know all our family members. All our family members know us. We have even talked about the number of children we are going to marry to have. Are you married? Hello, are you married? We have to follow the rules. We have to follow the rules. We have to do our own part so that God will do his own part. So marriage is not your institution. You have to play your own part. If you are married, you have to play your own part in your marriage. In Ephesians chapter 5 verse 25. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 25. The Bible says that, pull it on. Comparing marriage to our relationship to Christ. It says, husband, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Keep moving on. He says that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. God is speaking in this scripture and giving a recipe of how marriage is supposed to work. Husband, you have to love your wife. And the way you have to love your wife is the way Christ loved the church. And one of the things you have to do is that you have to clean your wife up. The reason why my wife is a difficult person is because she doesn't know how to talk. She doesn't know how to this. She doesn't know how to do that. The Bible said the responsibility of cleaning that person that is not clean is the responsibility of the person that maintains the husband position in that place. He said you clean with words. You clean with words. And I think it's also good for the lady too. You clean with words. Let me tell you, in your marriage, if you don't pay attention to what you are saying into your spouse and about your marriage, you are not using the water of the word to clean your marriage. The Bible said the way Christ is cleansing his church is by the water of the word. This morning, I'm using that water to speak to you. I'm using that water to cleanse you. There are people that are already finding things that will cleanse them here. And so the word of God is saying here that in a marriage, words can also cleanse. And can I say words can defile too? And so you find in a marriage, the husband he responds to what the wife says. If the wife says, see your head like, a log of wood, the man will now also reply back and say, what about your own? Is it not like log of iron? And then they will now be doing this back and forth, go debate and debate something, and they will be going back and forth. But the Bible is saying, when there is dearth, there is somebody that can take a responsibility in that relationship and use words to clean, and say the right words, and say the words of God, and use that word to clean. Because God is the author of marriage, and one of the ways he wants marriage to work is that love will be present in marriage, and you can use words to clean up things in your marriage. For more on marriage, join us next week. Amen. Or go and look for Pastor Theosy. Let it say some other things about marriage. I'm just talking about marital rest. If you don't find your own position, if you don't maintain your own position, you will not enjoy what God says you will enjoy in that thing. What about if you are single? What about if you don't have anybody that is in your life right now? I also have a word for you this morning. Speaking in Psalm 68 verse 6. Psalm 68 verse 6. The Bible says God sets the solitary in families. God sets the solitary in families. You need to be very comfortable with this. Because sometimes I've met many young people, single people, some not so young. And they seemingly begin to think that it is not possible to be settled. But the Bible said God sets the solitary in family. So number one, make sure you are a solitary person. Make sure you are not entangled and in a situationship. Because sometimes the reason why some singles are still single is because they are not really single. They are kind of single but not single because they are in a situationship. And things are all over the place and all that kind of thing. And God is saying that I will only set the solitary in family. If I'm looking for people I'm going to set to in family, I'm looking for people who are unattached. Someone that the brother is always hanging around, and is always hanging around. And if you are that brother that you are always hanging around, very nice to them. You are the very, very, very nice brother. I don't believe any brother should be way too nice like that. That you are just BFF of Sister X, Sister B, Sister D, Sister F. You are just their brother in Christ. Amen to Jesus. Leave Christ to be a father. Leave Christ to be a husband. And you just be a brother and try to be a brother to your brothers. Can somebody say amen? Because this brother to sister is brother only to sister. Brother can be to brothers. I have two sons. They are brothers to each other. They don't have to be brother to their sister alone. They were brothers to themselves before their sister showed up. So before your sister show up, be a brother to your brother. I just like the sisters like that. You are leading them on. You are not making them to be single. God wants to set the solitary in family. So you need to be unattached. And then you need to look unto God. Look unto God for opportunities. Let me tell you this, if you are single, God will create moments. God will create opportunity. And some of the opportunities will show up in the places you least expected. So what you do is this, because you know it's God that is setting the solitary in family, your position to God and to his agenda, you make sure you give yourself into it. You pour yourself into it. You are sold out. You are completely taken over by him. There are many times it is in the place of service that the Boaz will find you, because they will see you serving. I've been in this church before that somebody texted me, even though he didn't do it right, and I felt that the boy needed a knock. He just said, hello pastor, can I get the number of that girl sitting singing? I said, are you okay? Is that how you get the number of a girl? Are you okay? Because I know you think that that's how what I do here. No. I'm praying over these people. I'm believing God for a serious something with them. You don't just come and text me from somewhere and tell me that, can you get the number of somebody? Is that how you get the number? No, that's not how you get the number. You can go about it the right way. But there's a lesson there. Some people can see somebody on live stream and want to get their number. So when you are not coming to church, when you are not in any service team, when you are always running away as if no, you are running to something, God sets the solitary in families. Can somebody say amen? Don't run away. Stay around God's people. They say we should go for Yazim something. Come there. Because God said, you are not going there so that necessarily you find a husband, but you might find your in-laws there. Amen to Jesus. And your in-laws will know you. Ah, we saw her at Yazim. She was a very nice girl. You know, many of us, people put in word for us. That's why we are here with our wife. Amen. I still need to say thank you to my sister-in-law, because I know one time she put in word for me. Because in those days, I remember when I used to drive, I think sometimes I would see her and she would not see me. I would call her so that I can maybe help her to drive somewhere, you know. Just be nice. And if you are nice to your future sister-in-law, she may just put in a word for you. And even shout out to my mother-in-law too. One time she put in a word for me. Amen to Jesus. Because God says the solitary in family. So you won't find marital rest. Do it the way of God. If you are married, do it the way of God. You are single, focus on God. And let me end with this morning. Emotional rest. If there is any rest that is necessary in 2022, it's people need emotional rest. There are many more people that are depressed now than in the beginning of this century. Many people are distressed. Many people are disturbed. There is a million and thousand thoughts flowing through their mind. And major reason is this. Major reason is this, or among the reasons is this: focus is misplaced. Focus is misplaced. Do you know if you look at the trouble, it will trouble you? So that's what the trouble is supposed to do, to trouble you. So sometimes ignoring the trouble is not irresponsibility, it is a sign of finding rest. You look unto him that is rest personified. You are looking onto the trouble too much. Look at the bank account, it's zero. So if you look at it 10 times, will zero become 100? Because you look at it 100 times, it will be changing. You know, it doesn't work like that. Bank of America, they will even throw, is it overdraft now, or do they throw overdraft free, you know? And sometimes they will even throw it in immediately. Maybe it's when you have money there. They'll take, this thing has gone down again after I just put money there. Oh. And you focus on that. And that some people, that's how they'll come to church, and that's what they'll be. If we're laughing like this, they'll say, what's making them to laugh now? When the account is red, we should be looking like the account. Let me tell you the truth. Don't look like the problem. Many of us also, we have problems, but we don't look at the problem. Because why we look at not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen? Because the things which are seen are temporal. I don't have money, temporal. I don't have a spouse, temporal. I don't have a paper, temporal. I don't have a car, temporal. I don't have that thing, temporal. And because the permanent thing is that Jesus, my rest, has shown up. So what is a job? What is papers? Let me tell you this. My grandmother told me those days. She said, what's not enough now will be more than enough. And those days, what she was telling me was shirt. I will go and cry to her and say, mama, 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 I want to preach. And I started preaching at that time. And I had one shirt. That day, I think they had washed the shirt. And the shirt, you know, people don't understand it in the United States. But if you have grown up in one country or some countries, there is something that happened to the shirt, where the shirt will begin to give way at the collar level. And then you have to change the collar, you know, and tuck in the collar. Some people, do you know what? So the collar will reduce in size, not necessarily because you bought a new shirt, because you wanted to keep the torn part out. And I was crying to her, and she told me, what is not enough now will be more than enough. If there's any issue I have now, it's with clothes. There's plenty shirts. I mean, somebody was asking me, I want to buy you shirts, you know, I should choose. And I'm like, do I really want to choose? Because the one I have is as if every time I travel to Nigeria, you would think I'm going to sell clothes. As I go, that's how I come and meet them here. What is not enough now will be enough. I want you to tell somebody, what is not enough now will be enough. So you don't focus on the problem. The Bible speaking in Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. Isaiah 26 and verse 3, as we begin to close this morning. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Give that to me. It says, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is not stayed on the problem, is not stayed on the issue, but his mind is stayed on you. If you have a problem, distract your problem by focusing on Jesus. Many of the time when you focus on that problem will distract you. You focus on Jesus. If the focus on Jesus will happen by coming to a meeting like this and staying longer than you normally stay in meeting, stay there. Focus on Jesus. If focus on Jesus will include singing and playing music, that's why don't be careless about your environment. Something is disturbing you and you are listening to CNN. Is CNN going to help you? They are going to tell you how somebody lost an election, how it was not a red wave, it's not a blue wave, it's just a rainbow wave, and they'll be saying all kinds of things, and you don't need that in your life. Put in a song, maybe put in the song that worship team started singing today, out of my belly shall flow rivers of living water. Keep your atmosphere, focus on Jesus. Play the Bible on audio, keep it on repeat. Sometimes I have done that. I will sleep with music, I will sleep with the word of God, because when I don't like what I see, I change what I'm saying. I look unto him. The Bible speaking in Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. And he said that's how Jesus himself even won. Jesus was not looking at the things that was happening to him, he said, but he was looking at the reward. If you look at the problem, you will miss the reward. If you look at the reward, the problem will lose their value, because problems become bigger when you focus on them. And if you focus on God and you magnify the Lord, God becomes bigger than the problem. And even sometimes when the problem has not been fixed, it does not have the same power it has over you. And if there's a way to make a problem expire, let it lose the power to make you have sleepless night. Let it lose the power to make you sad. Let it lose the power to make you not dance. Let it lose the power to make you laugh and smile in the place of that thing. If he loses that power, it has gone. It's on its way. How? The devil likes attention. He will not give you a problem that you will not nurse. He will not give you a problem that you will not be worshiping. If you are worshiping God and you have the problem there, after a while, he will come and say, this one, I don't even know what's wrong with him. He does not think. He's a very responsible person. Let's take the problem. Let's take that issue with the finances away, because she's just doing as if that problem is not there, because she's looking somewhere else. Focus on Jesus. Let's be on our feet this morning.